Pittsburgh's hometown sports station. All sports, all the time. 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The home for your Pitt Panthers.
Yeah! Right ahead of the buzzer.
Giving you the inside access you can only find here. The home for your Pitt Panthers. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Let's go, let's rock.
Hello, come on. Good morning. Hello.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's the Vinny and Cook Show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan is driven by Hyundai. A very good morning to you. On the other side of the table, Ron Cook. Cookie, good morning.
Good morning.
And on this side of the table, Vinny Ricchici. Thank you so much for listening to our show. There's a new hero in town. And I, again, when we say hero, we talk about it in the sports term, but you had the feeling last night that if they could have carried Brandon Sutter off the ice last night, they would have darn well done it because he comes up with two big goals. I mean, don't discount what Kunitz does in the third period to break the ice, so to speak, and to get things rolling. But, man, you talk about a guy that came up big at the right time. Sutter did last night, and you got to be happy about what you saw. Because not only did they come back in the third, and listen, we can talk about the Bob Airy thing, you know, the jinx and everything like that, and I always love that kind of stuff. But this Penguin team, to me, worked its butt off last night and didn't give up. You know, they waited for the moment where maybe Boston might have relaxed a little bit and wound up coming back on them like bing, bang, boom. I mean, it was that quick. And beating them. And listen, that's the kind of stuff, working hard like that to me is the kind of stuff the championships are made out of. Not just beating a team, but coming back on them and working them and waiting for the right moment to capitalize on them. To me, that's what they did last night.
Yeah, they sure did. I thought they played a strong game from start to finish. Boston just was, the goaltender, Khudobin, was just really strong. He was really sharp early on. It's not like the Penguins didn't get chances. They didn't take penalties. They had a too many men on the ice penalty early, and Boston turned that into a power play goal. That was a little troubling, a big slap shot by Chara. Then Tyler Seguin got a goal to make it 2-0, and Boston looked like they just went into a shell after that, figuring two was going to be enough the way the goaltender was playing. But I thought the Penguins played well. They kept coming. They kept coming. Now, I didn't think they were going to come back. They had a minute five of 5-on-3 in the third period and didn't get it done. And I'm thinking, okay, they're done tonight. My colleague Shelley Anderson, I was sitting next to her, I said, no comeback tonight. And no sooner I said that than Kunitz scores less than a minute later. Sutter scores, and then 3.5 minutes after that, Sutter scores again. That was a great finish, a great win. The building was energized in the third period. It was kind of quiet early because it was just a lot of back and forth. The Penguins just weren't going to give you an indication that they were going to win, even though they kept coming. And they pulled it out, a nice win. It already sets up a nice rematch for Sunday. I was looking forward to it already. But now the way this one ended up last night, I think Boston's going to be eager to get back in here Sunday afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. It didn't have the same feel to me last night. I heard other people describe it as a playoff feel. I didn't sense that. That Flyers game at home, that 6-5 game that they lost, that had a playoff feel to it. This was just two good teams going at it, and the Penguins ended up coming out on top. Fleury hung in there after giving up two goals. Although Boston just, they didn't take shots. I mean, they just had 16 for the game, 5 in the first period, 7 in the second period, 4 for the third period. It seemed like they were content to just try to hang on. And you also have to remember they played the night before on the road in Ottawa. Maybe their legs just ran out a little bit at the end there. But what a nice win. What a nice win against probably the other team that you would consider to be the best in the East.
Yeah, it just seemed like the Penguins smelled blood last night. They seemed like they smelled it somewhere along the way they were going to get a break. And they got it. You know, it took them to the third period. But, hey, you know what? Congratulations to the Penguins for sticking with it and not having the attitude of, well, you know, it's just not our night. Let's just get through this. And, you know, we come back at them again on Sunday. I mean, again, I go back to what I said in the beginning. It's what championship teams do. They don't say, well, you know, we can get them another night. We'll get them tonight. We'll figure out a way. And that's what they did. And,
And a guy who got him started, Kunitz again.
Yeah.
That was a big-time goal he scored. It was a great pass from Letang. But it reminded me of a Crosby goal. You know how Sid will get down on one knee to let it go, the one-timer? That's exactly what Kunitz did, and he's just not missing the net now. And that got him sort of, once you got the first one, okay, you figure maybe now they'll start to come back. Sid didn't get a point last night, but he was a plus two. Letang, the great assist on the Kunitz goal. Kunitz is, I'm running out of words to describe the year he's having. That's his 18th goal now. He leads the Penguins in goals. If you'd have told me that at the beginning of the year, his 18 would be the most on the team, I'd have probably said you were crazy. But what a year he's having so far. What a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you, and again, you have a game last night where you don't have Malkin. You know, you need somebody to kind of step up. And not that he hasn't stepped up before, but you need to get that scoring. You need to get that, you know, that person who's going to set things up and be, not be Malkin, but be a force for you out there from somewhere else. And that's been Kunitz. And it was and will be. But also, you know, what about Sutter? I mean, you know, again, you know, Kunitz gets him going and provides the momentum. But here's a guy, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not take a shot at the goal with Crosby, like kind of standing there with a clean shot? He doesn't pass. He says, all right, boom, I'm going to the goal.
Sidney was right next to the goal. Yeah. Sidney could have tapped that in if he'd have got him the pass. It worked out okay. No, you know, he's been a nice player for him. I mean, it's going to take time to settle in. And as we said earlier, you know, you got to factor in the two defensemen they also got in the Jordan Staal trade. I don't imagine too many people were longing for Jordan Staal this morning. In fact, those goals were Staal-like last night by Sutter. Big-time points in the game. Nice to see the kid fit in a little bit and have a great moment like that.
What they're showing now, and by the way, jump on the phone. You want to talk about, I can't imagine that there's Penguin fans out there that don't want to get on the phone and pipe up about last night's win, because I got to be honest with you. If there's, they've had some great wins this year, to me, maybe last night's the—I don't want to say the best of the year, but you'd have to put it in the top three or four, just for the tenacity, the way they stuck in there, the way they came back, the way they worked. I mean, they worked to get that win last night. If you're a Penguins fan last night, you have to be proud of what you saw last night. But the other thing too, and it's 412-928-9370-476-25. The other thing, Cookie, you know, to me, is that we are now seeing with six wins in a row, we're starting to see some consistency out of this team. We're starting to see. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we're talking about up and down, up and down. One night they look like this, one night they look like that. One night they look like this, one night they look like that. Now we're starting to see a team that looks. I don't want to say the same every night, but they look like they are. They're in a groove. They're in a zone. They're hitting that that second half of the season kind of okay. We all know each other a little bit better now. We know each other's tendencies. We know where everybody's going to be on the ice, and they're taking advantage of that. And yeah, you'd like to, I guess, out of the, you know, see some more scoring maybe out of a couple of the lines. But the reality is right now, they're unreal. But what I love is the consistency that they have. Even if they get down, they seem to be able to come back. They don't fold their cards, man. At least in my estimation, they don't fold their cards.
Well, another thing, you know, another strong defensive game last night, and some of that was Boston playing into it, because once they got up 2-0, they weren't interested in scoring again. They just wanted to get the game over with and get out with 2 points. But that's what three and two-thirds games in a row where they played pretty well defensively. I'll discard the first period against Philly when they fell behind 4-1, but they've picked up that end of their game last night. Dan Bosma, I'll give him credit. I second-guess him benching Simone Dupre again last night. I'm wondering why he did, but it turned out okay. I guess maybe he just doesn't feel confident with Dupre's lack of experience against a good team like Boston, because I saw the scratches last night. I'm thinking Dupre has to be in there, and he wasn't. Yet they ended up doing okay.
And it's not that everything is perfect on this team, but by no means, you know what? You start to feel it with this team, the way it's constructed. It's not going to be the first round and out. You know, in the playoffs. I mean, you just don't get that.
See what happens when they get there.
I know, and as I always say, It's the playoffs, and that's how they're going to get judged.
And enjoy the moment, what they're in, because they're playing some fabulous, entertaining hockey. And with that lineup, they're never out of a game.
It is a fun game to watch when they're playing the way they're playing. All right, we'll get to your calls. 412-928-9370, the most impressive part of last night's game for you.
Foligno might have come up with it in a text here. Don't forget to Dupuy. How about him hitting Chara every time? Did you see him crunch Chara the one time on the boards? Chara's a monster. And Dupuy just flew at him. A great text by Foligno. Thank you.
You know, my uncle used to say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Who's that, Uncle Mush?
Uncle Mush. That was exactly what he used to say. It's Vinny and Kirk on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Your Pirates play here.
Presley, he slides, he sinks. Pirates win.
Pirates spring training. Catch all the action live right here.
The Pirates win in walk-off fashion.
It was a good day at work because you had to work.
Pirates baseball on The Fan, powered by Bowser Hyundai. The home for your Pittsburgh Pirates. Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan.
Hi, this is Tanya.
And Joe Flynn for Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Start. With updates every 20 minutes, I'm Eric Hagman on the home of the Pirates and Panthers, KDKA FM.
Pittsburgh's hometown sports station. All sports, all the time. 93.7. The Fan.
Vinny and Cook, midday.
There goes my lunch.
412-928-9370.
Pittsburgh's local sports station.
93.7, The Fan.
But I like the fact that our team, you know, kept playing and kept really playing well with the puck. I keep feeling that way in the third that we're going to get one goal, and you know, there was some confidence on the bench that we were going to keep going and get the second and tie it up.
Penguins head coach Dan Bylsma talking about the game. He says, never in doubt. Vinny Cook with you here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fans, we talk Penguins. CBS Radio Atlanta NFL insider Len Pasquarelli going to join us a little later in the hour. We'll try to sort out some of this free agent stuff that's going on in the NFL. So that means you have a limited time this hour to talk about the Penguins. 412-928-9370. I don't know. Best victory of the year? Well, I guess you could put a number of them in there. But certainly, I would think one of the best victories of the year for the Penguins. They come back from 2-0 down the third period in like rapid fire succession, win it 3-2 over the Boston Bruins.
You know, that's two very unlikely comebacks in a week. Yeah. Right, Philadelphia last week, they're down 4-1 after the first period. You don't come back from 3 down on the road against Philly, not a great team this year, but on the road. And then the one last night, I'm not sure the one last night didn't top it because it happened so late against a really good team, although I keep pointing out that, you know, Boston did play the night before and the Penguins didn't.
But
you take advantage of the schedule. The Penguins didn't have Evgeny Malkin either, did they?
No.
So that's just, in a span of a week, you had two really incredible comebacks that you don't see very often in hockey.
I think it was Bob Errey's jinxing of the Boston Bruins on the TV broadcast. I mean,
I'm at the game. I don't know what you're talking about.
Errey last night going to the break. It's in the third period. The shutout is still going, and Errey is going, oh, yeah, they got a shutout. Oh, the Boston Bruins are pitching a shutout tonight. Oh, they got a shutout going.
So you think that actually had something to do with it?
They come back and Kunitz scores the goal.
You think that had something to do with it?
You know what? I'm going to believe it does. If Bob Errey believes, you say he's the guy that knows more about hockey than anybody else in town.
Well, we
right?
would fight over that, but that's okay.
Right? Well, but you
that's
said
not,
that
that's not hockey. That's just common sense.
Right.
He wants to tell me the X's and O's of how the Penguins came back. I defer to everything he said.
Bob Errey thinks that if you go there pitching a shutout, it's a shutout, and Kunitz comes back and scores a goal, I'm going with Bob Errey, okay?
Well, as much as I respect Errey, I will tell him differently.
I'll ask Matt Cook. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Matt Cook.
I'll bet he'll really be a believer. Errey's statements had something to do with it, not the way the Penguins played.
He might. You never know. We'll ask him. We'll actually ask him. Griff in Fox Chapel, why don't you lead us off in this hour here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan?
Hey, Vinny. Hey, Cook. How you guys doing today?
Good, Griff. How about you?
Doing great, bud. What a great night last night for hockey. It was a really, really great night. I watched the whole game last night. It's hard to argue for me which of the better comebacks it was to the Penguins between the Flyers and the Bruins. But to bring in sort of my argument of why the Bruins game was a better comeback than the Flyers game, I know we came back 4-1 against the Flyers. I know it's like, oh, but it's like a four-goal comeback. Boston owned that game the whole way through the whole game. When I was watching it, I mean, they read the Penguins. They played different defenses. They were sort of, you know, they were confusing the Penguins the whole time. I mean, I thought at one point it was going to be a shootout, a shutout.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the Penguins found a way in the last 5 minutes to really, you know, make a statement and really get the three goals to get in the back of the net. I really think, you know, Brandon Sutter did play a great game. I know, like somebody said yesterday, that, you know, really the secondary scoring from the third line hasn't really been producing. But I guess, you know, they really made the statement last night, and they really, you know, quiet the people out there, you know, criticizing them a lot.
Well, it's hard, again, it's like, hard to argue with six wins in a row, isn't it?
I don't hear much criticism of them lately, nor should there be.
You know, and thanks for the call,
Griff. Except the penalty kill has been disappointing.
Yeah, but again, you know, let them work on it a little bit. The one thing that I liked about last night's game, Cookie, it was one of those games that if you want to take a game and show somebody who doesn't know much about hockey, is in a city where they don't know a lot about hockey, what the game is about. Isn't last night's game one that you look at and you say, This is kind of what it's about. Not a lot of penalties, a good comeback win.
Very well played.
Yeah,
right.
Very well played game. I mean, that's what, you know, besides just the Penguins winning last night, that was the thing to me. If you know, Seattle, Kansas City, you name these teams, that these cities that want to get a hockey team. Last night's game is the game I take, and I sent to one of those people. I say, watch this game. This is what you'll appreciate about the game of hockey. Exactly the way the Penguins played it last night. Old Bob in Monroeville, you're up on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Well, there's a reason why I'm sitting here and Disco Dan's sitting there.
Yeah,
I tell you what,
that's true.
That game last night, I'll tell you what, though. Let me tell you what are my thoughts there. I loved that game. I took my grandson last night. That, from the second period, we took control. But I like what Disco Dan said today. There's an interesting thing he said. He's thinking about using seven defensemen down the rest of the season at different times. Because England, my man England, he put two hits on Milan Lucic, which was big. He hit him twice and rocked him. And I thought that was big. But the most important thing is it was a great game. The Penguins, like Dan said, they played their game. And when they play their game, I mean, they out-hit them. They had more takeaways. They lost the faceoffs, but they came back. But the best part of the evening is when I come home and I replayed the game. You know, it was nationally televised. Did you hear about Milbury?
No, I watched the local Root Sports.
Listen to this. Milbury and Keith Jones, Milbury was going crazy in the first half, between the first and second period, talking about the Boston's dominate, Pittsburgh is one-way team, offense. Second period, he said, game's over, pack up the bag and go home. We shut them down. After the game, he looked like the guy on that had his dog shot on Old Yeller. His face was down on the floor. He was in total shock because you know he hates the Pens. And that was the highlight. But what a game last night.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. You know,
I thought the Penguins played a good game all the way through.
Yeah.
Even if they'd have lost last night, I'd have said they played a strong game. You know, they had more chances. They dominated the territorial battles. I thought they played a good game. Now that they pulled out the win, certainly added to it. But I thought they played a good game. I never felt like... I didn't feel like they were going to win. I'll be honest. I thought Boston was going to win. But by the same token, I never felt like they were just getting outplayed and embarrassed by any stretch of the imagination.
But let me just quickly update two things here because I know it's a fast and frenzied NFL thing going on. The Steelers have tweeted that they have signed Plaxico Burress. I don't know what that status was. And also looks like Baltimore has let go Bernard Pollard. So,
Baltimore defense taking a beating. We'll be talking about it.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it. Len Pasquarelli coming up, and we'll be continuing to talk about that. Jeremy in Newcastle, you're up on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, guys, what's happening on this snowy day?
You're happening, Jeremy. You're the most happening thing in the world right now. You got a whole radio station to talk to people on. Knock yourself out.
Right on. Hey, this caller, a couple callers ago, I don't know what game he was watching, but the Penguins just dominated that game. besides the score. They outshot Boston, what was it, 36 to 12 or 16?
See, Boston wasn't interested in – they didn't want to play. They just wanted to get out of the game. They weren't interested in trying to score. They were just trying to close it out, and they damn near came close to doing it, didn't they?
The Penguins had their chances. The Penguins looked awesome shot after shot. That goaltender stood on his head.
Agreed.
I don't know if it was the defenseman hitting Chara or if it was the game after game, but Boston just looked – Pittsburgh ran circles around him in the third period. That was probably the best period of hockey I've seen all year.
Well, I don't even know if it was the whole third period as much as it was that just that rapid-fire succession. What was it, 5 minutes of the period?
They had a minute five, a five-on-three early in the third period and couldn't get it done. And that's when I'm thinking, okay, it's not going to be their night tonight. And they certainly came back and proved that it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's and thank you for the call, Jeremy. Yeah, I mean, to me, that game, although, you know, they worked and they worked and they worked. It came for the Penguins within like that, you know, with that 5-6 minute period right there in the middle of the third period where they just, after Kunitz's goal, it seemed like it sparked them and they went on from there. And you still were a little worried with the empty net and everything like that. Was it, what was going to happen there? So I don't know. I just thought that was a fun game to watch. That was was just a great game to watch. And if you're a Penguins fan now, all of a sudden, what do you have left to complain about? I mean, in much, is there? If you're one of those people that like to complain, I guess you could talk about the penalty kill. But now you go to Toronto, you got the six-game winning streak going. You come back, you got a rematch with Boston on Sunday.
Don't forget the Rangers here on Saturday.
Right,
too.
The Rangers here on Saturday.
What a great weekend. You have the Rangers here Saturday. Boston Sunday. Boston, I can't wait now for the game after what happened last night. And then next Tuesday, the Capitals are in town. I don't care what their record is. It's still the Capitals and Ovechkin, right?
Yeah.
So you got three great hockey games in a four-day period, all at home. Lucky you if you have tickets to any of them, that's for sure.
And one of the great things to me is this team is going through these teams. They're not blowing people out. They're not dominating people. But they're winning games. You know, they're doing, and that to me represents a strength that a team has. They're not just going there and blowing teams, you know, out. They are working.
You don't see many blowouts in the NHL.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. They're not dominating other teams. They're not getting up 2-0 and then that's it, that's all. Or teams getting up on them 2-0. They're working their butts off to get these wins. And, you know, that says something. The fact they're doing it without Malkin. Says something. The fact that, to me, Vokoun has come around and played good the last couple of times you've seen him. What does that mean? I mean, there's just a lot of nice pieces right now that have fallen in place. You still got half a season to go before you hit the playoffs. But right now, if you're a Penguins fan, I think you got to be happy with what you're seeing. And which brings you now to the dreaded question, well, do you make a trade? What do you do? As you get closer to that trade deadline, if this team is playing like that, like they are now, do you make a move? Do you not make a move? Do you give up one of those stellar defensemen that you have down at Wilkes-Barre? Do you give up draft picks, or do you just try to get through with what you have?
Well, the great thing is you don't have to make that decision today.
Yeah. Well,
see how they play.
Yeah, that is the great thing is you just have an opportunity now to watch some great hockey and not worry about that. All right, coming up next, we'll flip gears here and throw it into football gear. Len Pasquarelli, good Pittsburgh guy, and now with CBS Radio in Atlanta, an NFL insider, is that you all know, will join us. Get a chance to spend some time with him talking NFL free agency. And I'll tell you, you want to talk about changing plates, tectonic plates in a sport. Over the last 2 days, what's going on in the NFL is incredible. It's Vinny and Cook on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, the home for your Pitt Panthers. And live from New York.
Butter Bud Light Draft for just $3. For everything sports, it's the Tilt and Kilt. And see for yourself why a cold beer never looks so good. The Tilt and Kilt, Pittsburgh's
hometown sports station. All sports, all the time. 93.7
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, the home for your Pitt Panthers.
And he claims it. I mean, it was a prayer.
Tune in every game day for complete live coverage, giving you the inside access you can only find here. The home for your Pitt Panthers. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. It's the Vinny and Cook Show. We get a chance now on a very busy NFL 24 hours or so, or will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Our good friend, CBS Sports Atlanta NFL insider Len Pasquarelli, a Pittsburgh guy for a long time. His heart's still here. We talk to him all the time. Len, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Sorry I turned the Penguins off halfway through the third period last night.
Yeah, you don't want to do that these days. They're starting to become the comeback kids of the console center, man. It's unbelievable. But, hey, you know, God bless them. They're doing a nice job all of a sudden.
I wasn't exactly controlling the remote at that point in time, and my wife, who's a Penguins fan too, had pretty much had enough. And I said, yeah, turn it off. They're not going to win this game, and shows you what I know. Huh?
You know, a lot of texts going back and forth between wives and husbands that are, you know, changed that channel last night. Mike Wallace to Miami. How big of a loss is this for the Steelers?
Well, I think it's a loss. I mean, I was talking to a Seattle team official this morning, Vinny, who had Percy Harvin higher than Wallace in their minds, and obviously they traded for Percy Harvin and thought he was a more complete guy. You guys see him a whole lot more than I do. I mean, Mike Wallace helped a lot in that he stretched the field, and that leaves a hole. I mean, obviously, you look at the Steelers' offense right now as it's currently constituted, and you wonder where the playmakers are, you know, besides Antonio Brown. But to me, and you guys can address this probably more than I could, there was a reason beyond just a needle that Mike Tomlin, you know, often referred to Mike Wallace as a one-trick pony. And, I mean, is he the most complete receiver around? I don't know about that. Is he going to help Miami? Well, he better be happy with his $13 million a year, because I'm not sure he's going to catch a whole lot of passes from Tannehill early on. But you know, hey, never begrudge a guy getting the money. It's a loss for the Steelers, obviously. They would have liked to have kept him, but they weren't going to pay the price, and so be it. Time, you know, life goes on.
Lenny, you followed the Steelers a long time. Not just losing Wallace, they're going to lose Mendenhall. They're probably going to lose Keenan Lewis, James Harrison. Are the Steelers in trouble at this point in your mind?
I don't know, Ron, if they're in trouble. I think I said to you guys about halfway through last year, when it still looked like they were going to make the playoffs, that in my mind, you know, from a distance, they were doing something that I think is pretty hard. Still staying relevant, still staying a playoff contender, and undergoing what I thought last year was a pretty big transition, and obviously the transition continues this year. I don't know that they're still a playoff contender. I think they may take a step back. I was reading our good friend Ed Bouchette's blog this morning, and he talked about things going in cycles some in the NFL, and I think that's true. And, you know, look, Ron, I still have a lot of Yinzer blood in me, as you pointed out, and I'd like to see this team be a contender every year. But sometimes you take a step back, and maybe the Steelers are kind of in the throes of that right now.
They almost, in some ways, Len, remind me of the 49ers in the 80s, where you had, you know, a great quarterback in Joe Montana and a lot of great pieces, but there'd be those up and downs between the Super Bowl appearances where they'd, you know, they'd kind of fall down, and for one reason or another, they'd have to reload, re-up, and it'd be a year or two where, they, you know, you didn't think they were going to do all that well.
Yeah, Vinny, I mean, all of us, and I include me in the us, even though, you know, I have no rooting interest, no dog in the hunt, but as you guys pointed out, everybody knows where my blood is on Sundays. You know, we've kind of gotten spoiled because this team is a contender every year, and we expect a Super Bowl run just about every year. I mean, I know how Pittsburghers are, and maybe it's time to deal with a little bit of reality. I mean, they're probably, you know, despite the you know, as your producer Troy pointed out, the almost minute by minute dismantling of the Ravens, they're probably no better than the third best team in their division right now, and anything above that would be a little bit of a surprise. But you know what? I mean, to suggest that this team has kind of lost their way, as I know Ed kind of addressed in his blog this morning, is kind of foolhardy. And I think this team will be back, and they're going to do things the right way, and they're going to do things, more importantly, the Steeler way. And sometimes I'm sure a lot of fans think that's kind of stubbornness on their part, but it's proved to be a winning combination for them.
Lenny, James Harrison wanted to stay. They wanted to keep James Harrison. Are you surprised that didn't work out? And how much do you think James Harrison has left?
No, I'm not, Ron. And I will admit that at about 5 minutes before you guys called, I was scrambling to try to find your column from the other day that said it was avoidable. I don't often disagree with you, Ron, and I will at this point with the preface that I haven't read the column yet. I read the headline. I don't know that it was avoidable. I mean, there are certain ways to structure a contract. I'll be a little bit surprised, Ron, if James Harrison is made whole this year by anybody in the league. That a team is going to pay him the $6 or $7 million, $6 million plus that he was due, unless they do it in a kind of a tricky way, you know, give him a 3-year contract and expect he's going to play one. I just think that, you know, it wasn't all that surprising. I mean, the guy's been hurt a lot. The guy is 34 years old or whatever he was. He was kind of a player in decline. I say that with a lot of respect for James Harrison, but, you know, I'm going to be surprised if the team signs him for a whole lot of money and expects a lot out of him this year.
Len Pasquarelli from CBS Atlanta is with us, NFL insider on the Vinny and Cook Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Len, it seems like the Baltimore team's song is Exodus by Ferrante and Teicher. I mean, they're leaving Baltimore like bugs crawling out of a cabinet. How worse off is Baltimore going to be this upcoming season if they and obviously they're not going to replace guys like Pollard and Lewis and those guys. You can't replace those guys. What does it do to their situation?
Well, I think they take a step back a little bit. I mean, look, Vinny, I think Baltimore is still probably the best team in the division. But for me to contend that they're going to win another Super Bowl, I still think the team that lost in the Super Bowl is going to be the team to beat this year. They got a lot of draft picks. They're a very talented team. I was kind of surprised that Baltimore beat them in the Super Bowl last year. But you know what? They still got a quarterback. They still got, as Pittsburgh does, in Kevin Colbert, a guy in Ozzie Newsome who finds players. They'll still be a good team. But you know, will they be as good a team? Will they be as explosive a team? You know, their defense has taken some dents. They're probably not quite as good.
How about Cleveland, Lenny? Are they on the rise here? If they get any kind of quarterback play, I'm starting to wonder if they're not going to be the best team in the division. And I know that's a big if about getting quarterback play.
You know what, Ron? I keep hearing about all this young talent they got assembled. But we all know, guys, that it's still a quarterback league. And you said the magic words, Ron. If they get a quarterback, that's a big if. I mean, you got to have a quarterback in this league to win right now, and I'm not sure they do. They know a whole lot better than I do. And Mike Lombardi, their new general manager, who's a guy that Pittsburghers know well, I'm sure is studying their quarterback situation as we speak. But you know, they're a pretty good young up and coming team. But you know what, Ron? You got to learn how to win before you win. And as I pointed out, you got to have a quarterback in this league, and they don't yet.
Do they, I mean, can they find one in the draft? Is that what they do? Do they try to sign somebody in free agency? Or, you know, how do they accomplish getting a quarterback? Or do they just wait for Brandon Whedon to develop another year?
You know, Vinny, I don't think you're going to find an immediate starter in the draft this year. I mean, I'd be a little bit surprised. I mean, I think, I don't have my numbers in front of me exactly, but I think from memory, 12 of the last 15 years, we've had a quarterback taken at the top of the draft. Obviously, we're not going to this year. I mean, Kansas City has gotten their guy in Alex Smith. I just think the quarterback crop this year is down a little bit from the last 2 or 3 years when, you know, we've seen 3 and 4 and 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round and teams taking them higher than we thought they would. On the other hand, I'm not sure you're going to get a great quarterback in free agency. I mean, obviously, Kansas City is going to do something with Matt Castle now. It remains to be seen what Arizona does with Kevin Cobb. But these are guys that have kind of failed in a previous incarnation. So you just don't know. Maybe you ride it out with Whedon and hope that this guy at the age of 29 or whatever he is develops into a guy. I just think it's hard to find quarterbacks unless you draft one and develop one. And I don't know that Cleveland's going to be able to do that this year.
Lenny, speaking of quarterbacks, the Steelers' word is have signed Bruce Gradkowski to be Ben Roethlisberger's backup. I always say if it comes to Roethlisberger's backup, the Steelers are going to be in trouble anyway. But is this an upgrade for him? Would they be comfortable with he and Charlie Batch behind Ben Roethlisberger?
You know, I think it's an upgrade, Ron, in that they probably had to, and you know, not that Bruce Gradkowski is any 23 or 24-year-old guy, they probably had to get a younger guy in there. given the mix they had at quarterback. And I don't know, you guys know a whole lot better than I do, if this spells the end for Charlie Batch or Byron Leftwich or which one of those guys is going to be out of there. But I thought they had to get younger. You know, Bruce Gradkowski has local ties. That doesn't make him a great quarterback, obviously. But I kind of share your original premise, Ron, that if number seven goes down, the Steelers probably go down a little bit too.
Listen, it's good to talk to you, Len, as always. Thanks so much for taking some time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Say hello to all the burgers.
Thanks,
us.
Lenny.
We certainly will. Hey, everybody. Lenny, it says hello.
There you go.
Thank you, Lenny. Just looking on the wire here. Apparently, we had Bill Parise on, James Harrison's agent, the other day. He said he has spoken with the Ravens, but also six other teams. Said he's spoken with seven teams about him at this point and claims there's a lot of interest in him. We'll see.
Well, we'll know if he signed in the next day or two. There's a lot of interest if he's not signed.
You know, because the Ravens just – Ray Lewis retires. Kruger's just signed. Ellerbe just signed. They have an opening. I don't know if they have any money, but we'll see.
We'll see how that shakes out. That's something you don't want to see, James Harrison coming back in a Ravens uniform, or does it even bother you? All right, it's Vinny and Cook here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Steelers, Penguins, Panthers. HD1 Pittsburgh.
And worldwide at 93.7thefan.com.
Thank you, Pittsburgh, for making us your number one choice for sports.
93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Vinny and Cook Show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan is driven by Hyundai. In the next hour, let's jump into this Bruce Gradkowski signing, although not yet official by the Steelers. It seems like everybody has it, so when there's that many people talking about it, it must be true, right? Especially on the Internet. But Gradkowski, a former Cleveland backup, is added to the mix for the Steelers. The Ben, Bruce, and will it be the Ben, Bruce, and Charlie show? A local guy, to me, that means nothing, that he's
he
a local
probably
guy.
Probably had his best game in the pros at console. At Heinz Field, remember a couple years ago, he led Oakland in here and beat the Steelers and just had a fabulous, fabulous day doing it. I'm with you. It doesn't mean anything that he's local.
Well, it means he knows how to get to Heinz Field.
He's got to be a big improvement over Leftwich, only because he's been able to, knock on wood, stay healthy. I think.